wasn't it? Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. If you would, stand in reverence to the Word of God with us. Last few Sundays this year, we have talked a lot about faith, and we're going to talk some about faith today. Can you believe that we have already had 8 Sundays this year? This could be 9th. I think this might be the 9th Sunday. It's clicking off fast, isn't it? You know, God has not promised us a amount of days. He's not promised us a amount of minutes, seconds. All He promises is the here and now. And we've got to make every moment count that we can. And I shared with you all Wednesday night, but me and Brother Ray were talking at the hospital Friday. We stood right there at the back doors of the church, and I said, "Hey, how you doing since you had this stent and all?" He said, "I feel better than I've felt in a long time." And then Monday night, he's on his way to the hospital with a stroke. We don't know from one service to the next. I was preaching on a Sunday night at Mount Hebron, and Miss Ida May's brother was sitting there where he always sat and joked around with me a little while. And the next morning I got a call from his wife. He had died in his sleep in the night. You and I do not have a promise.
Right.
And therefore, a service like this is so important that you listen to what God has for you. And when the Spirit moves you, that you don't put that away for some other day or some other place. But when God moves you, you move. Because this could be the last opportunity that you have on this side of eternity to make things right with Him. And we're going to talk about faith today. In Romans chapter 4, we get kind of a glimpse of what I want to talk about today. But it says this in verse number 19, talking about Abraham. And it says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief." But this is what I want you to see today. "But was strong in faith, giving glory to God." Verse 21 says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we want to pause and thank you for everything that you have done. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, this side of eternity, to come together and to read your word and to study. And Lord, we pray most importantly about this service today, Lord, for the needs that could be in this building. Lord, I believe that if there's anything we need today, we need our faith strengthened. And the disciples prayed one time, "Lord, increase our faith." And I believe that all of us, if we were honest today, would say we need more faith. So Lord, as we study and learn more about Abraham's faith today, the strong faith as you have worded it, Lord, help us today to be a people of strong faith, that we believe exactly as it's been told us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now turn with me to Hebrews 11, and we'll get a little bit there. And then we'll go someplace else and get a little bit. In the book of Hebrews 11, we know it as the roster of faith. These is the world champions of faith. This is the Hall of Fame of faith. These are the people that God said it's good to take another look at these people's lives because these were people of faith. And we found out in verse number 6 that without faith it's impossible to what? To please God. You and I try our whole life trying to please God. But God helped us and He said, "You cannot please me without faith." The Bible said in Romans that we just read that Abraham had strong faith. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. And God promised them a child. And they believed God and received that promise. Why? Because they had a strong faith. But I want you to see another situation in Abraham's life that maybe even helped even more develop his faith. Verse 16 of Hebrews 11. All the things about Abraham actually start in verse 8, but I want to skip to the punch today and give you the gist of what I want to talk about. The Bible says in verse 16, "But now they desire a better country, that is, at a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Let me say this to start you off this morning. If you're here and saved today, you have left an old life. The Bible said old things are passed away and all things become new. And you are headed for a final destination. But where you find us today at is the in-between. And I want you to know something today. I don't have to ever worry about the past life. I will never, ever live there again. That's done, that's finished, and that is gone. But still, I can't enjoy the heaven part either. I would like to know about a place of no sorrow. I'd like to know of a place of no pain. I'd like to be able to walk on streets of gold. But I'm not there yet. So I'm somewhere in between where I was and where I'm going. And you know what? The in-between's the hard part. Would y'all agree with that? The in-between part. I think heaven's going to be easy. Don't you? I think heaven's going to be fun. It's going to be easy. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think there's going to be any anxiety medicine in heaven. I don't think there's going to be any stress in heaven. Undertakers are out of job. Police officers out of job. Brother, there'll be no jails. Amen. There won't be no computers. Praise the Lord, right? Computers make mistakes and you and I fall victims of that sometimes. But here's what I want you to know today. I'm not there yet. I'm in between. And the in-between life is the hard part. And that's where we're all at today. We're all in the same place in our life and we're trying to get through. Now what we need to get through this life is strong faith. Not just faith, but strong faith. You and I have experienced faith when we put our faith in Jesus. How many here today are saved and know it?
Amen.
That's a bunch of you. So here's what I want you to know today. That was a faith. That may not have been that strong of a faith, but you realize there was nothing you could do to get you to heaven, and you put that in God's hands, and you trusted in that. Now, there have been days, there have been times in your life that I guarantee you've doubted that. If you're saved and in this building today, you've had doubts. But you know what? There's some things that happen in this life that God develops in us a faith that is so strong that we never, ever doubt. And that's the kind of faith I need today. I'll be honest with you. My faith gets weak. My faith causes me to doubt. Amen? But you know what? I want that faith that causes me not to doubt. I want that faith that lets me believe it no matter what. Y'all remember the definition I gave you for faith? For faith? A confident conviction that what? Causes a commitment. That's what you and I are looking for today. And here's what the Bible says in verse 17 now. Now remember, they desired a better country. How many of you desire a better country than this? Can I help you? The next election will not make this a better country that we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about a city whose maker and builder is God. And that's the place I'm looking for. And I'm telling you, when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, he was headed to the Promised Land, but everybody thought he was headed to the Canaan's land. Listen, he was on his way to heaven. And the Promised Land was just a stopover, and you and I can have a Promised Land experience, but every one of us here today is looking forward to that heaven. Amen? And so here's what he says in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You know what caused Abraham to have faith? It was a promise. Let me ask you all something today. How much do you rely on promises that
people, Mike. Would you? How many of you have people make you a promise and you get a little nervous when they make it? But you continue to rely on that promise. How many of you have been let down? I'm curious. Every one of us, haven't we? You know why? Because man will lie. They will. But it came out a promise from God. Whatever God says, He will do. Now, it's dependent on how much you take that promise by. Now, I can tell you a little bit about Abraham's life to spare some time. Let me just jump in. Abraham was told by God in chapter 21 of Genesis that he was going to have a son that would be the seed of a nation. Okay? Now, Abraham was 99 years old, and his wife Sarah was right behind him. And he got to thinking, I don't know. And his wife decided to help God out. Can we take a commercial? If you think you're going to help God out, you're headed for trouble.
Amen.
God does not need your help. And all you will do is mess it up. And here's what Sarah did. Sarah had a handmaid, which was like a helper girl. And she said, you know what? Here's what we need to do. I need to let you sleep with my husband because I'm barren. I'm 90 years old, and my life's about over, and I can't have kids. Now remember the promise. God said, you're going to have a child. But instead of waiting on God, Sarah decided to help God out, and she got her husband, gave her husband permission. What? I mean, Genesis just taught us, the second chapter, a man will leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they would be one flesh. And now he's got his wife giving him permission to sleep with another woman. Y'all think that's from God? I hope not. Y'all in the wrong church if you think that's from God. And here's what happened. They had a child. His name was Ishmael. And you know what? God didn't recognize that child. God reminded him, you're going to have a child. And it's going to be the seed, and it's going to come from Sarah. And you know what? Sarah, at 90 years old, found something. She'd been drinking from the water fountain at Unity Baptist, hadn't she? Amen, Julian. All the other ladies of the church had drunk through. And here's what happened. She found herself at 90 years old with child. And from that day forward, Abraham said, I believe God now. I believe the promise of God. And no matter what, I'm going to prove that I've got faith in God. Now, y'all ready? Because this storm gets really good. So, here's what happened. They had Ishmael. God didn't even recognize Ishmael. And actually, what happened was, God had to have Abraham send Ishmael and his mama Hagar away. Now, we still have problems with them today.
Amen. Right.
Ishmael became the father of all the Middle Eastern countries.
That's right.
Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, all those countries that fight and hate each other, them's all descendants of Ishmael. And they all hate one country, which all goes back to one person. They hate Isaac, which is the son that's about to be born to Sarah. So you see, the war that began many years ago is a war that's still going on today. Everybody says, we need to fix the Middle East. How many thousands of years have they been trying to fix the Middle East? Okay? That's a war that goes way beyond you and I's comprehension or ability to fix. And God knew that war would be on. Now, I need you to see what He said. The Bible said in verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. See, before you and I can ever be what God wants us to be, we're going to be tested. Okay? Now, I'm talking to you this morning about strong faith. So I want you to get this. If you're going to have strong faith, what kind of test do you think you're going to have? Easy ones or hard ones? I promise you. If you're going to have strong faith, there's going to be strong tests. Go with me to the book of Genesis, and let me give you the gist of this today. I got the three things
I want to show you from the book of Genesis really quickly this morning. If you happen to have kept the 11th chapter of Hebrews marked, you're going to need that one more time at the invitation. But go with me to Genesis chapter 22. I'm not going to read you the whole story. I'm going to fill you in a little bit. But I want you to see this strong test. Because this is really important today. How many of you really want strong faith? I'm serious. How many of you think that your faith needs to be stronger than it is today? I think we'd all agree. But let me ask you something. How many of you want strong faith? Well, now be ready. I want you to watch this message today. Because this is pretty serious stuff. Look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 22 of Genesis. And it came to pass after these things, what things? That he had sent Hagar and Ishmael away, and he made a promise to Abraham. From your son Isaac, I'm going to cause a nation to arise. It came to pass after these things that God did what? Now I've got to pause for a second. Because there's a verse in James that says, God cannot be tempted, neither he tempted anyone with evil. Okay? Now, I believe that 100%. How many of you believe it? What does this mean then when it says it came to pass after these things that God did tempt? If you go back and read this original language, sometimes in translation, there's words that mean different things, but they only have one root word. And so here's one of those words. The same word for tempt is the same word for try. Okay? Now, we've got to get this today. The devil tempts and God tries. Y'all say it with me. Alright, now we know this is from God because it says it is. And so we know that God's about to try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Verse 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son. How many see that? Tell me what you notice in your King James Version Bible about the word son. It's italicized. Who said that? Alright, that's being observed. How many now know, when you look down there, that it's slanted? That means it's palatine. How many see that? Raise your hand. How many don't even know what I'm talking about? How many see what I'm talking about? Okay. It's a palatine. It's slanted, okay? Let me tell you what that means. That's a word that's been added to help us understand what he's talking about. If you read this in the original language, it would say this. And he said, take now thy son, thine only Isaac, whom thou lovest. Now, Mary, I know, and you know, Abraham had more than one son. Right? We just went through that. The other son's name is what? Ishmael. But let me get you to get this. Abraham knew that God did not recognize Ishmael as the son. And so, let me tell you something. Abraham loved Isaac. Oh, preacher, I don't think it's possible to show different ways of love with your children. Y'all are crazy. I'm telling you today that Abraham had a feeling for Isaac that he had for no other. And he called him his only. I mean, when it comes to talking about kids, Abraham talked about Isaac. Isaac was his life. Isaac was all there was. Look what the Bible says. He says, whom, verse 2, whom thou what? Lovest. Let me get you to get the first thing today. Number one, you and I are going to have hard tests. And I'm going to tell you, if you want strong faith, the test is going to be hard. And let me tell you what God's interested in. Y'all ready? God's interested in what you love. Y'all hear that? See, I don't know if we understand this or not, but we serve a God who wants to be loved more than anything else in this life from you. That's why He gave Jesus to die for your sins. And the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And this God who we love, He doesn't want to share your love with anyone. And when the Bible says that Abraham loved Isaac, I think it means exactly what it says. I think he loved Isaac. he thought about Isaac. I think he had dreams about Isaac. I think he could see Isaac's future. And you know what? As a father, I understand that. We all have those babies, and we all had big dreams and big thoughts. But I want to tell you something. God asked us to give what we love the most to Him. Y'all get that or not? God's going to ask, now listen, if you want strong faith, God's going to ask you to give what you love the most to Him. You say, Brother Steve, have you ever done that? I have. I'm going to tell you something today that I don't know if I've ever even talked to her about. She ain't here, so she don't know. But a few years ago, when I went through heart surgery, I thought I was going to die. I don't know if y'all have ever had an experience in your life where you thought you were going to die. But I really thought I was going to die. And I can remember thinking about not getting to see Rochelle again. I mean, it killed me. And I can remember when I started getting better, how I didn't want to ever leave her. I mean, I wanted to be with her every moment of every day. There was nothing in this world more important to me than Rochelle. Nothing. I mean, my kids are sitting here thinking, what, Dad, you mean not up? No. I'm telling you kids that your mama was the most important thing in my life. She's more important than any church I pastored. She's more important than any mission field I've ever been on. She's the most important thing in my life. And I couldn't imagine a moment of my life without her. And you know what? God began to deal with me about loving her more than I love Him. And I'm going to tell you something, Brother Scott. I did it. I'm going to tell you how I know I did it. Because I neglected my Bible reading so I could be with her. I neglected other things I was supposed to do for God to be with her. And I realized I was putting her the most important thing in my life. And you know what I had to do? I had to give Rochelle to God. I'm still scared. I'm still nervous about that day. I still have bad dreams about something happening to her, me being left alone. But you know what? I think God wanted me to give her to Him. Because in my life at that time, there was nothing I loved anymore. Y'all understand today when the Bible says that Abraham loved Isaac? He loved Isaac more than Sarah. He loved Isaac more than anything else in this world. And God's going to find out, do you love Isaac more than me? See, if you want strong faith, you're going to have to go through some strong tests. Let me show you the second thing we learned. The second thing we learned is this. Through tests, we get taught some things. Look at verse 2 with me one more time. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get them to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. Now, if you were to go to the Middle East, and you'd go to Jerusalem, you would find a mountain range called the Moriah Mountains. And this mountain range is a lot like the Appalachian Mountains. It's not just one mountain, there it is, and here we go. But it's a mountain range. There's a lot of mountains in it. But here's what God said. God said, I want you to go to the mountains of Moriah. And when you get there, I'll tell you which mountain to go to. Now, I want to give you something that God's teaching us, okay? A lot of people in this building say, Preacher, I want to know what God's will is for my life. How many of you have ever asked that? How many just maybe a little curious today what God's will is for your life? Well, let me give you an answer what God's teaching you how to find out here. If you want to know God's will for your life, you've got to do God's will. If Bobby wants to know God's will for his life, he's got to do God's will. What do you mean, preacher? Well, here's what God told Abraham. You go to the mountains of Moriah. Yeah, but when I get there, where am I going? Don't you worry about when you get there. You just go to the mountains of Moriah. When you get there, I'm going to tell you which mountain. Now, Abraham packed up his son. He packed up wood. He packed up fire. And he packed up a knife. And he began to take his son to the mountains of Moriah. That's what he did. He's taking them there. But you know what? When he gets there, God's going to tell him which mountain to go to. Does that make sense? You and I live in this world where we're trying to fast forward God and we're trying to find out exactly what God wants me to do this June, this July, next August. And I'm telling you what God's interested in you doing, what His will is for you right now. Everybody tries to look way ahead, and God's interested in your life right now. See, God has a will for your life right now. Number one, if you're lost, He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any of you go to hell. That's why He sent Jesus to die. That's number one thing. That's His will. Let me tell you number two. His will is for you after you're saved to be baptized and be part of the local church. That's His will. Yeah, preacher, I'm trying to decide really what God wants for me to do. Well, you're not going to find that until you do His will back here. Y'all with me? So here He is, and He's going to the mountains of Moriah. He don't know what mountain's going on, but God said it's time when He gets there. And I'm going to be honest with you. God shows Him exactly where to get to when He gets there. But let me show you the second thing. How many of you, this is going to be a dumb question, and I'm going to ask it right now because everybody's done dozed off to sleep. How many of you think that you can teach God something? Whoa! I've got a whole bunch of notes. Now, I woke you up. Because I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you all what you can teach God. Preacher, you are one crazy guy. I'm glad I showed up today to know how crazy you just are. Now that you're awake, you're back in Genesis 22, I want you to see this with me. Verse number 12. Abraham puts his son on the altar. Everybody good there? Here's what we know. If you read the story, you'll find out that Isaac actually carries the wood. Abraham carries the fire and the knife. That's real important in a minute. And I close with you. We're getting up to the end. But Isaac's got the wood. Some people believe Isaac was 32 years old. The same age as Jesus when he was crucified. Some people believe he was in his 20s. Here's what I can tell you Isaac wasn't. He wasn't the size of that little boy right there in his mom's lap. Isaac was a grown man. Okay? When the Bible uses the word lad, we're not talking about that. Okay? He's older. He's over 16 years old and he's more likely close to 20. So here's a father that's going to put his 20-year-old, Joshua's 20, five, and you see me trying to tie Josh up and throw him on an altar. Well, that's exactly what happened because Isaac was willing to trust his daddy while his daddy trusted God. Now, this is what I want you to get, though. The Bible says in verse 12, and he said, now remember, Abraham drew the knife to kill his son. And at the moment he was coming down with the knife, the angel said, stop! Abraham! And he said, here I am to do the lad no harm. And the Bible said this, verse 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything for him unto him. Now y'all read this. For now I know. What? Oh, Scott, no, Scott. Because God knows everything. I believe that, Luna. Then what did God say here? For now I know, what? That thou fearest God, seeing thou hast withheld, have not withheld thy son, thine only son, there it is again, from me. Now let me tell you the coolest thing that I learned about God as I studied this week. Y'all ready? I think this is so cool. We serve a God, Brother Greg, who knows the end from the beginning. He was all the way back here in the past, Brian, and he's all the way over there in the future. But let me tell you what he told Moses. He said, you tell him that I am and sent you. You know what God is? God is present.
That's right.
What God does when Aaron and his buddies are out there playing basketball in a ball game. God steps right out on the ball floor with them. And God says, "Here I am. Now I'm going to see if you really trust me or not." God steps into your financial problem that you're having. And God says, "Here I am. Now I'm going to find out if you really trust me or not trust me." Here I am in your marriage problem. God steps right in the middle of it. He says, "Here I am." See, He's a God of the past and He's a God of the future, Joseph, but He's also the God of the present.
Amen.
And boy, we forget that. I'm going to tell you what God told me. He said, "I'll be with you always, even to the end of the earth." Everything I go through, God says, "Here I am." Do you know that God? And here Abraham is. He's about to kill his son. And God steps into the picture and He says, "Here I am. I'm going to see this with my very eyes." And God said, "Sherry, now I know." Y'all see that? "Now I know." Why? Because you were about to kill me. "Now I know that thou fearest God." So let me show you the part that I got. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm nervous about what I'm about to tell you. That ought to wake you up. I've never heard this preached before. That ought to make you very nervous, what I'm about to tell you. I mean, Beth just got nervous. Probably woke Tex up. But the preacher's about to tell you something he's never heard preached before. Remember when I read to you a while ago in Hebrews 11, I told you we were going down when we quit. That lets you know we're done for the end, okay? Hebrews 11. Are you there? Verse 17, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and had received the promise, offered up his only begotten, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac shall thy seed be called,' accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from what? From which also he received him in a figure." Now, here's the part that I've never heard preached before, but I want to bring it to your attention. Abraham took two things on the mountain, and Isaac took one. Three things went with those two guys. Who can name them? Knife, fire, and wood. If you go back and get to read the story, the Bible tells us that after he had laid Isaac on the altar, he laid the wood in order on Isaac. Now remember, the next thing he had to do was what? Kill him. But here's a part that I never thought about that I think is so cool. He had fire there, John. You know what he's going to do with the fire? He's going to burn him. Not only was God going to raise Isaac from the dead, He's going to raise him from the ashes, Mom. He had the fire, Julie. He was ready to burn his son just like he'd burn any sacrifice. Y'all with me? You want strong faith? There you go. Here's somebody who put it all on the line. Here's somebody who went all the way. He knew a sacrifice that's going to be offered to God had to be a burnt sacrifice. He was going to burn his son. But he believed God would raise him from the ashes. And you see verse 20, chapter 11, verse 18, or verse 19, what it said? Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. I like the word accounting. I just, out of curiosity, looked it up in the Webster Dictionary. I know what accounting means. But I was interested to find what Webster said it meant. He said, concluded. Huh? What did we say the definition of faith was? Confident conviction that what? Let me tell you something. You'll never put faith in God in a situation that you don't have a constant conviction that will cause you to make a commitment. He concluded that God raised him from the dead. Abraham went on that mountain, Angie, and he believed he's going to kill his son. Now I'm going to tell you all this today in closing. I hope and pray that God never asked me to do that. Because I'm just going to tell you all right up front, I will probably fail that. And here's what I know. God will not ask me to do something that I'm not capable of doing. All this story tells me is where Abraham was in his life and where Steve is today. But I can tell you this. I think there's some things that we love today that God wants you to lay on the sacrifice on the altar. And I'm going to tell you something. He may ask Aaron Meese to lay his basketball on the altar. And that may not mean Aaron can't play ball. But it might mean he can't play ball. He's got to trust God. See, Abraham believed the promise of God. The promise of God was this son Isaac, Scott, will be the father of the seed. And Abraham said, well, I'm going to kill him, but God gave me the promise. He's going to be the father of the seed. And I believe what God says. Do you all believe what God says today? Do you all believe if you don't repent of your sins, you will burn in hell? Do you all believe that today? You know the problem today is people don't believe God's promises.
Right.
But I'm asking you today to trust God and have a strong faith. A faith that you're willing to put something on the altar. Every parent in this building ought to be willing to put their children on the altar and say, God, whatever you want them to be, that's what we want. I might want him to be an NBA star, but you may want him to be a missionary to Ethiopia. God, whatever you want him to be, that's what I want him to be. Here he is, God. You know what? Most parents won't do that. Most parents want their kids to be what they want them to be. But you know what? Until you surrender what you love, God will never give you the faith to serve Him like you need to have. I believe today in this building, there's some people who need their faith strengthened. And I believe there's people here today that God's asking you to put something up. Put it up. I know you love this, and I'm afraid you love it more than you love me, and I want you to prove it to me. I want to test you. So here we go. Are you ready for that test today? See, that's up to you. My prayer is if God is trying to get your faith strengthened, that you'd be willing to go with the test. And you will trust God at His Word. Let's stand and pray.